This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is trucking along to 5:06 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, and it is Popik. And today we're talking about monkey see, monkey do. More like monkey see food, monkey eat food. Yeah. Because a new study from Aston University found that based off of a small scale study, we eat what our friends eat on social media. So the thinking there is, if you see your friends eating more healthy foods, then you eat more of that. And the same is true for unhealthy food.
So in the study, the findings showed that the 369 participants, made of university students, ate an extra fifth of a portion of fruit and vegetables for every portion of fruit and veggie they thought their Facebook friends were eating.
Yeah, but like we said, the same is true for fried chicken, basically. Yep. So Facebook users would eat an extra portion for every three portions of unhealthy snacks and sugary drinks that they thought their social media friends were eating. And this is, somewhat interesting because it really is the first study to provide any sort of evidence that our social circles online could actually be influencing our eating habits. And my first thought when I saw this was, I think this is true. Or at least it's true in my own limited experience, because the times where you're on social media, more often than not, you're sort of bored and looking for any sort of stimulation, right? Like that tends to be the case. You're looking for a photo that you can like, or you're just mindlessly scrolling. And I think that that is a state where you're pretty vulnerable to suggestions, which is why so many brands try to meet you there, right? That's why so many brands try to say, hi, are you bored? Maybe if you bought this brand new thing, you would be less bored. Maybe if you bought this skirt, you would be happier or whatever, right? And I think that that same suggestibility probably applies to food, where you're looking at it and you think, that looks good.
Well, at least in the urban setting, I think we're quite used to looking at food blogs, food influencers, and seeing what they're eating and saying, well, maybe I should try out this restaurant. It doesn't really matter what they're eating. And I think this perhaps might be quite interesting, right? Especially if you happen to be working in the health field, or if you're a gym trainer, for example, maybe the next sort of prescription or next suggestion as one would give to a patient or a client would be like, oh, why don't you try following more healthy eating Instagram accounts or Facebook accounts for that matter?
Eventually, yeah. Yes. Although I do think that a part of it here is, I don't think it's that simple. I do think that there's a reason why this is referencing friends.
Yep.
And there is that social cue that's important. So I'm not sure whether if I just followed a bunch of healthy eating blogs
accounts
that I would actually feel motivated to do so. I don't think my brain would be triggered by, oh, random carrot, I have to go eat it. I think it has to be a random carrot that my friend told me is just absolutely delicious, or a random carrot. This random carrot's really getting a lot of work, but a salad or whatever that somebody that I trust in some capacity has told me is delicious. I think that level of trust and social conditioning is important. So it might be your friend, but it might also just be an influencer. It might just be somebody whose taste buds you trust, and so you're like, oh, I see, and that makes it more enticing or delicious, as opposed to just random, unrelated accounts.
Oh, I think on a personal level, I can relate to that. So, you and I, we both watch Bon Appetit, and
yes, we do.
We also happen to watch that one series that they have called Gourmet Makes, where Claire Saffitz, this chef, pastry chef, she tries to remake some of the snacks that we see. So whenever I watch a video related to that, I feel very compelled to also buy that same snack. So if she was trying to recreate Oreos or Pocky, for example, the next day or the next time I step out of the house, I want a Pocky.
Yes, no, exactly. And I think if snack foods knew what was good for them,
yeah,
they would all be trying to hop on that Gourmet mix bandwagon. But for sure, right? Like, there is that social cachet that this whole thing depends on. So yeah, to reiterate, we're really talking about how a new study has found that your eating habits can actually be influenced by your friends on social media. So if you see your friends eating healthier, you actually end up eating healthier. If you see your friends eating unhealthier, the same is true. Now, it is a small-scale study, so we would like to hear from you on whether you find yourself... Are your eating habits influenced by social media? That's the long and short of it. Do you find yourself craving things after you see them on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever? You can call us and let us know, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-88 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And of course, you know, we're extending part of this little study we're doing. And since this is a pop-up, we wanted to find out what the public thought about this. And we asked them if their social media friends influence their food decisions. And this is what they said.
Yes. One friend of mine, she posted a Instagram story on this Korean Muslim restaurant. It looked so good. But when I went there, it was not that good.
No, because if my peers post anything that is food related, then it's not in reach in my area.
I think generally no. I'm not on Instagram, so I don't really get to see all those beautiful photos of food that people take.
And then we also asked them why they think this influencing, if they believe in it, happens.
It's largely because Facebook has designed the platform to make sure people are on the platform for as long as possible. And it's really the water cooler, I guess. People see new stuff, they talk about it, people comment about it.
It's because the picture about the texture of the food.
I guess it's because it's in the culture that people wanted to share like what they're eating or a healthy lifestyle or whatsoever. So it affects other people and it creates like a ripple effect.
We also asked if they would consider following or unfollowing people to help them make better lifestyle choices.
Probably not. Because I trust my own instincts.
Yes, because the people we follow that will influence us lah kan. If it always say about negative, think about negative, it will absorb in our subconscious and will be negative lah.
No, for me, like, probably I would have my own stance, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't follow them exactly how they practice their lives.
Yes, if it's suitable with my own lifestyle, then I would say that it does give a little bit of influence on my lifestyle.
And lastly, we asked them how else has social media influenced them?
Me, myself, always scroll on social media, looking everything on social media right now. Shopping also in social media.
Travel, because I follow many travel vlogs.
Activities, because people post it on whatever that they're doing on the weekends or anything fun that they're doing. It's a good way for me to get to know places and also to go around and check that place out.
Sports, because I do a lot of sports. Like, we have Instagram accounts that shows how to do these football skills, how to score these kind of goals, how to shoot, how to defend and this kind of stuff. So from there, it's pretty good because it's free education, it's free learning, it's free coaching.
So we're talking today about the never-ending effects that social media can have, this time on our eating habits. So we would like to know, I mean, considering how often you see people saying things like camera eat first when it comes to food and meal times, how quickly people whip out their cameras, we'd like to know whether looking at food photos online actually influence the way you eat or what you crave, because a study has suggested that if you follow people who eat healthier, then you feel like you want to eat healthier. And the converse is also true. So it would seem at least that there is this connection between what you see on social media and what you eat. So we wanted to know, have you found that to be true in your own life? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're joined now by Dr. Kavita Mahadevan, a sports and exercise physician. Dr. Kavita, thank you again for joining us.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me again.
So what are your thoughts on this study's finding that showed that at least within the 369 people that they had, people were swayed by their friends' online food posts?
Well, I think there's a certain amount of truth to it, because sometimes when you see if you follow a particular person on social media and you reflect on his lifestyle, his occupation, his physical activities, and you know maybe he or she has got that physic goal that you're wanting for, you've been longing for the past few years, and then you look at his or her eating profile and you go like, oh, you know, maybe because she ate this, that's why she looks like this, you know. So I think it does play a role, but I think again it reflects to who that person is. if it's just a random person putting something there and for the sake of just, you know, putting a post for social media for that day, then maybe not. So I guess, again, it's who you follow, the job of that person, the lifestyle of that person, and maybe the physique of that person. That plays a role, definitely.
How do you think it compares to food ads by restaurants and brands?
Well, I think when it comes to friends or someone that you follow, there's a form of validation that, you know, or, you know, this is my friend. I trust, you know, back in school, what my friend says is gospel truth, not what your parents say. So I guess it reflects here. Again, my friend has tasted it or my friend has tried it and he or she says it's nice. So I think it does. Restaurants and or just any random advertisement on social media could just be for the sake of advertising. You know, you may not have the actual scenario being portrayed because you don't know who has tried it, who has not. But if your friend has tried it and says, oh, you know, it really works or it's really tasty, definitely it will push you, bring you a step closer to wanting to try that.
So do you think that this logic of, you know, being influenced to eat certain foods would apply to other things like exercise? Because off the top of my head, I think that one is regarded as significantly harder and more effort than the other, right? You see all these fitfluencers, but it's a lot harder to get those abs than it is to just go out and, you know, buy some chips.
Correct. Well, I would say it's easier to eat than to exercise.
For sure.
Because to exercise takes lots of effort. But sometimes, yes, I mean, I'll reflect it to myself that there are some individuals that I follow on my Instagram and so on, that when I see who he or she doing this particular activity to ascertain a certain physical goal or whatsoever, then yes. But to say, you know, it works in the same amount, then definitely not. I would disagree because, like I said, you know, most of us are a slave to our tongue. Mm. Food is commonly associated to a social gathering, not exercise. You know, you could always just pick up the phone and say, hey, you know what, let's meet up this weekend and let's go to this restaurant, the one that you suggested. But you don't get people saying, hey, let's meet up and go for a gym session. You don't hear that. So, yeah, it's again, what's your own keens and desires?
So just as a sidebar, right, you do mm-hmm. see a lot of conversations surrounding fitness to do with accountability, to do with actually making it a social thing, you know, having a running group, for example. Do you think that that's actually important? Just to deviate slightly from the food conversation to the harder part of fitness and working out, do you think that it is important to have that social component for exercise in something of the same way that we have for food?
Well, okay, many people fear exercising because the fear of not knowing what to do, fear of having injuries, or fear of just starting, fear of being criticized by someone else in the gym or whatsoever. So again, I would say that yes, accountability in group sessions help. For some of them, they've got no motivation, but they don't know if there's a group of friends waiting for them there at 5 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday or whatsoever. The sense of, you know, being accountable and going for the session. But again, you have some people who prefers to be doing it alone. Group sessions and so on helps, but sometimes you are tied down by, you know, you've got to play around with their timing. It may not be suitable for yours. So I always suggest that if you are new to something, a new sense, no harm trying out into a group. But eventually see what resonates with you, because not necessarily all group sessions work. You can have one character there that you don't like, and that could be a reason for you not to go for the next session. Mm. So again, what resonates best for you?
Now, back on the conversation about social media and how it can influence the food decisions we make, is there a way to be more attuned when it does have an impact on, you know, our diet, our food choices?
So could you rephrase that question again?
So, you know, whether or not we are conscious of it, social media can, you know, based on the study, can influence the type of food decisions we make. Is there a way we can be more attuned to when this happens, right? You know, for example, out of the blue, I seem to be craving Korean barbecue or something. you know, but I don't know why suddenly I'm craving that.
Well, I think, yeah, you see, social media is a very mysterious place. you can get motivated, you can get demotivated by whatever that you see in social media. It could, you know, tell you. But to say again how much you are attracted to what you see on social media, very difficult, because social media paints a lot of things in a very beautiful picture. You know, so to really say, you know, you have one thought and you see it, and whether you want to do it, difficult. It's difficult for me to comment on that.
It was also suggested that this knowledge of how peers can influence one another could perhaps be used for public health interventions. I think Kelvin mentioned earlier that perhaps it could even be suggested or advised to people who are facing health issues to, hey, you know, maybe you can follow some healthy eaters. Do you think that this would work? I have doubts myself, but I'd love to know, you know, from your perspective, whether you think that this would actually be an effective way to go about things.
Well, okay. So now, like I said, social media is one mysterious area. You can have a sincere influencer who's really out there to help the society or to help their followers, or you can just have an individual who's probably running a business and hoping to just get as many followers as they can and putting in posts out there. So is identifying who are the sincere influencers out there definitely plays a role. But yes, would it help? If I see a particular person, like I said, he's got the physique goals that I want, he's got the lifestyle that I want, the healthy lifestyle that I want, then I could practice what he or she is practicing. I could learn from that person. And if it helped, if it works on me, I could tell the next person, hey, you know what, listen, I tried this, what this person was suggesting, and it worked. I think why don't you start following him or her? So, yes, it does. It definitely plays a role, because when it comes to public health intervention, we want to help. I mean, we want to get intervention as in many ways possible, not just through posters, not just through, you know, public talks and all that. So we have to use social media. Social media is the thing right now. So definitely it can be, it can be a very strong tool to combat issues that we are facing now in Malaysia, which is obesity. Definitely we can.
Dr. Kavita, thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you.
You just heard that from Dr. Kavita Mahadevan, a sports and exercise physician, speaking to us about a study that proves that our online circles influence our eating habits, and also, I guess, the role that this sort of study could play in trying to come up with interventions, yep. Right? So that's me told. I mean, I definitely see the... I think I might just be too cynical for it.
In really? All,
yeah, I don't know if I would respond well. So I think that... playing the role of communicator is super important. And as far as what we're talking about here in terms of having that that push to say this person is, you know, an exemplar of a healthy life, follow them, I could see how that could work. I think I would just personally resent being told who to follow. But I'm not right now in the market for that information. So I think that is key. Like, if I were actually out there looking for a reliable source of information, looking for inspiration, my mindset would be different than me going, no, thank you. So it's a bit different.
I think if, say, the trainer or whatever had highlighted perhaps other concerns when it came to getting that food or going to this particular restaurant with that kind of food, if they had just told me the traffic there is very bad, I will not go.
Sylvester says, personally, I don't have these sort of influences on my IG feed. So unless I have a certain craving, I don't normally seek unhealthy food. But I can understand that humans are social animals. The herd effect is very real. The moral of the story is create an environment or system to help you stay on course and eliminate detractors and distractions.
Yeah, this has been something I think that researchers working and studying willpower has been thinking a lot about. And I think the common denominator is that they're viewing willpower as a sort of muscle and a sort of battery that finishes. And the easiest way to change a habit is if you create the environment and remove anything that requires you to take up that amount of limited willpower you have on a day-to-day basis. So, for example, if you happen to follow a lot of accounts that do perhaps show a lot of food that can sort of entice you, easiest way to get rid of that craving is to unfollow all of them.
So on that exact note, we have this from Le Panda, who says, photos on Instagram or Facebook don't really influence me much, but videos, on the other hand. Not too long ago, I stumbled on this YouTuber called Mikey Chen, aka Strictly Dumpling, who does a lot of buffet reviews. The very next weekend, I dragged a bunch of friends and went to a buffet.
You know, That's just to me a fun thing, right? Because if it doesn't influence you too much on a day-to-day diet basis, then it should be completely fine. And I think if it can take you to something fun to do, and perhaps you do the whole and engage the whole buffet thing on a moderate basis, it's probably completely fine.
Honestly, you know, this isn't anything new in the sense that if you think about the popularity of food shows, the fact that there are entire channels and networks, you know, abroad devoted entirely to food, people who have built their careers pretty much on eating and showing you how what they eat is super delicious, whether healthy or not. This isn't really new. I think what is new is the ease with which it spreads, because it used to be that you would see it on TV. It used to be that you would, you know, go on YouTube, but you don't necessarily share 20-minute videos all the time. On the other hand, a photo, a 30-second video, these are things that are incredibly easy to watch and to parcel out in bite-sized pieces. So I think that's why the influence feels that much more pervasive, perhaps. So we're talking today about whether or not social media can influence you to eat healthy or unhealthy, depending on who you follow. Have you found this to be the case in your own life? Have you found this to be true? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.